every decade there's a changeover in the top leadership in the Chinese Communist Party, which effectively means the ruler of the Chinese state. In this particular changeover period, you're seeing around two-thirds of all the top leaders being replaced by the so-called next generation or the fifth generation. So it's probably the most major transition of leadership in the last two decades or so.
And to what extent does this shift in leadership truly represent a change in generations or a shift in policies?
I don't think it necessarily represents a change in policies, for the reason that the people who decide the next generation of leaders are the current generation of leaders, and they tend to put forward their protégés or their allies. What you're seeing now over the next week is the vanguard of the Chinese Communist Party getting together behind closed doors, bickering amongst themselves to push their favoured people through. So you're not going to see an immediate radical change in policy. The aim really is continuity rather than change.
And do we know who the new leader is bound to be?
We know that it will more than likely be Xi Jinping, who is an ally of the previous president, Jiang Zemin. We know that the premier is most likely to be Li Keqiang. The president really looks after external affairs, and the premier looks after domestic and economic affairs.
To what extent will this actually signal a shift in policies in, say, the geopolitical relationship between the US and China?
Well, we're also seeing, in addition to the change of leaders in the civilian government, we're seeing a change of leaders in the People's Liberation Army, and they're extremely influential in making Chinese foreign policy. So you will have a substantial change of personnel. What that means for its strategic or foreign policy, to be honest, I don't think anyone is quite sure. I think all we can say is that the two main powerful interest groups within the Chinese Communist Party, that is the PLA, the People's Liberation Army, and the state-owned enterprises, they will grow in power. Those two factions will increasingly determine the foreign policy of the country.
But are we likely to see China play a more expansive role in foreign affairs and start to play a larger role in the world?
I think the train has already been set in motion for China to play a much more expansive role. Even if the current leadership, if you look at the last two or three years, China has been a lot more assertive, its critics would say a lot more aggressive in the region. I think that's just a reflection of China's growing power. I think it's just inevitable, no matter who the leaders will be, that China will be a lot more prominent and a lot more assertive than they were, say, 10 years ago.
Now, what does this change in the leadership in China mean for Australia, particularly our trade relations with China?
I don't think the change in the leadership in itself will necessarily affect trade with Australia. But the new or the next generation of leaders are speaking about changing China's economic growth model, that is moving away from fixed investment, which is really building things, to domestic consumption. Now, I've got my doubts that they can make this transition, but if they do successfully make this transition, it will lead to a lot less demand for Australian commodities, and therefore it could actually affect our terms of trade negatively.
Interesting. So because the Chinese government may be looking to focus their consumer buying power on their own people rather than like what they've been doing with the rest of the world and markets in America and so on, this could have a negative effect for Australia on the resources boom and other things like that. We've been sort of fueling their manufacturing growth.
That's correct. If you look at Australia's exports to China, probably around 70-80% of it is commodities. And if you look at how China has grown in the last 10 years, they have spent more money, both proportionally and in absolute terms. They have poured more money into building things than any other major economy in the world or any other major economy in economic history. Now, this has obviously been a boon for commodity exporters like Australia and other countries like Canada, but speak to any Chinese economist and they'll tell you that this is unsustainable. So if there is an economic transition to a different model, Australia could be in quite a bit of trouble.
And where do you see China heading over the next decade?
I think China is in quite a bit of trouble as a country, and I say this for a number of reasons. First of all, the economics or the growth model of China, it is unsustainable. You can't pour so much money into building things which a country or the people don't really need. So there will be a structural slowdown in the country over the next 10 years or so. The second thing is that social unrest in China is rising exponentially. If you look at the party's own figures, in 2011, they reported 184,000 instances of mass unrest in that year. Now, that's around 250 instances of mass unrest per day. It's a country that spends over $100 billion US on a people's armed police whose sole purpose is to control domestic unrest throughout the country. And a third reason is corruption. Your listeners have probably heard about the enormous wealth that China's leaders have generated for themselves. For example, a current premier and his family are worth $2.7 billion US. Now, this corruption runs right through society. It's creating a lot of dissatisfaction. It's also creating a lot of dysfunctionality as far as policy is concerned. So those three problems, China has huge challenges in front of it, and I'm not quite sure that they will solve them decisively. I think the country will muddle through.